This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is The Morning Run and you're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. In about half an hour, we're going to be talking to former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dr. Ong Kian Ming, who's also the MP for Bangi, about investor confidence in Malaysia. But in the meantime, let's turn our attention to the emergency announcement yesterday, because Malaysians, I think, were by and large caught by surprise when with the news that the Yang di-Pertuan Agong had consented to a proclamation of emergency. And this is running from the 12th of January yesterday until the 1st of August, or until an earlier date if COVID-19 can be brought under control.
The declaration of emergency will allow Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to suspend Parliament and delay the Sarawak state elections, which is supposed to be held this year. The Prime Minister says the reason for the emergency is to combat COVID-19. It would also put off any risk of Muhyiddin having to call for snap polls if the Perikatan National Alliance falls apart. And we've already seen two MPs from UMNO pull out of that alliance. And he reassured that the civilian government will continue and that the emergency allowed for calm and stability to focus on the economic recovery.
But of course, I think the question on everyone's minds is, what are the political implications of this emergency? And joining us to discuss this morning is Dr. Bridget Welch, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute of Malaysia. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Bridget. So was this emergency declaration a bit of a bolt from the blue for you, or were there signs that this was a possible scenario?
Good morning. Of course, I think, like everyone, yesterday's decision was largely a surprise, but there clearly were signs. The Muhyiddin government had asked before to hold an emergency. We've seen increasing demands for centralization of power, and we've also seen triggers in the last few weeks of weakening political support within his coalition. So these signs created a situation for this emergency declaration to be granted.
On balance, is this declaration of emergency good or bad for Malaysia?
Well, I think that in terms of on balance, I think it's probably not the best move because I think it shows a sign of weakness as opposed to a sign of strength in the sense that it points to lack of political support for the government in terms of his coalition. It also shows the problems of COVID have reached a point where they've required different types of interventions, that the interventions that they had in place are not working. And I think these things showcase a degree of weakness that I think that really is not helping Malaysia, especially from the perspective of investors and also gaining trust across Malaysia for a more holistic response to COVID-19.
It seems that there are some of those who would see this move as purely political and that the pandemic provides a convenient justification to stay in power. Do you think these kind of beliefs will be difficult for Muhyiddin Yassin to shake off?
Look, the reality is that the framing of how people see the emergency is shaped by how Malaysians see their own politics. And those views have been deeply polarized. There are two major areas we can see how the framing is actually evolving. First, by people's levels or forms of political support. If they were supportive of the opposition, Pakatan Harapan, they will see this move with highly suspicious lenses. They will see this as a political move. And while on those who supported Muhyiddin Yassin and in the Malay heartland, and he is very popular, you will see this as a necessary move. So it will see these two different lenses will be very clear. The same factors is that people also have very different values. There are people who support democratic government and then those that are much more authoritarian, who see the solutions as being a centralized government and giving more power to authorities. And so we can see these different perspectives and reactions yesterday on social media, among people's conversations. And I think that what we see is a situation where the polarization is not likely to go away. It's likely to deepen further because people see what they want to see and how they see this the moves that Muhyiddin Yassin is taking their views of the government have not necessarily shifted that much from yesterday to today. They just see the government as taking power into its own hands, or in some ways, for good or for bad, depending on their political outlooks.
So how will the emergency declaration impact UMNO in particular, seeing as we've had a number of UMNO MPs recently withdrawing their support from Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin? Is it, as some would say, a checkmate against the party for threatening to push for elections?
Look, I think we have to understand that the situation has emerged from a a Malay political crisis, a political crisis among the Malay political parties. This is the backdrop and of which UMNO is the key party that is in crisis. And what we're going to see is a situation where the divisions in the factionalism in the party will become deeper. The space to the legal cases will feed into the different issues of the leadership in the party itself. And at the same time, now that the emergency has been declared, there are concerns that Bersatu will be able to use leverage on this opportunity to help to kind of continue to displace UMNO, which has been some of the reasons why there's been this this reaction, especially from the grassroots. So what we're going to see is an ongoing crisis within UMNO, which will continue to percolate. And I think that this will become, it's not going away with emergency. So while they, UMNO saw the solution to their crisis as having an election, but the fact of the matter is now that that is the option has been taken off the table, and there are also no party elections within UMNO, the fact is that the crisis and the underlying dynamics are not going to go away anytime soon. So then they become new routes to resolve those. And I think that we've already seen some of that play out yesterday, where one more MP said he's not supporting the government and is calling out the government as a minority government and has fallen and so forth. So I think there will be new steps that the party and members of the party will take to respond to the fact that they have been not necessarily checkmated, but they have been forced to take different paths. And I think that those steps may not be comfortable ones because the party is being pushed into a corner.
Bridget, let's talk about Pakatan Harapan. Will the emergency serve to strengthen Perikatan Nasional and weaken Pakatan Harapan, you think?
I think let's step back for a second and talk about what the broader political implications of an emergency are. I think that, in the context of Malaysia, people look back to the past and issues of that have been shaping the different emergencies. You've had 10 different emergencies, the two most important of which one happened in 1969. And what we're going to see in terms of the political implications here is we're going to see potentially an impact on political discussion. We're going to see the government itself become a target because the stakes have become much higher. In fact, it may form a source for political unity, but it also goes to what you just asked about, which is the question of new alliances. Will there be new alliances that emerge? Now that the power dynamic has shifted through an emergency proclamation, the fact is it offers more opportunity for the opposition to form new alliances outside of the different rubric because there's a different political target, a different issues in play. So Pakatan Harapan, while still facing and grappling with its leadership issues and the different trust factors, have now found a source of unity because there's a new other that they're opposing.
What could be an alternative to declaring an emergency?
Well, at this point, that question is moot because emergency is declared until August. But there could have been alternatives, which I think that many people in the policy community were discussing. Because no question, the COVID-19 situation in Malaysia is very serious. This is a dark winter for Malaysia in terms of the health situation. The resources are being strained on, and the policies and approaches that were in place need to be transformed in meaningful ways. So, and those discussions about additional testing, about decentralizing the process of administering COVID-19 to the state governments to basically find ways that bring in more different alliances, those things have been on the table for some time. And there has not been a willingness to take on those new approaches as yet. And that's where some of the concerns are. The concerns about emergency are about whether or not it's going to solve the problems that the country is facing, aka will it offer new governance to deal with issues of COVID-19, and will it be able to manage the challenging economic environment that things move forward? And these questions are, I think, are really important ones, because what it's done in a polarized political environment is it's closed off options. And it also raised the stakes of the performance, but not necessarily offered new ways to conceptualize how they're going to address both the economic and health issues.
The Prime Minister said that an independent committee will be set up to advise the King on the duration of the emergency and when it should be lifted. What would ensure that this committee is actually independent and credible in terms of composition or operating guidelines?
It's a very difficult situation, given the polarized environment, given the fact that you have emergency provisions that give government so much authority. But one would hope that the individuals that are appointed are credible, have a reputation of speaking out on issues that are that there is some sort of clear guidelines that give the power of the committee a little bit more space to be able to come up with sets of solutions and as well as implementation power. But I think that it'll be very challenging to make sure that that independence is actually maintained in an emergency situation. A lot's going to come down to the individuals who are appointed.
Thanks very much for speaking with us this morning, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute of Malaysia. We've also been running a poll on the subject of the emergency declaration on Twitter. How's it looking, Roshan?
We've got about 100 votes in right now. We have asked you, what do you think about the emergency declaration? 15% have said needed for stability. 12% have said needed to fight COVID-19. 57% said they're concerned about democracy. 17% aren't sure how they feel about this just yet.
Yes, it really goes back to Bridget's comments about how Malaysians view our politics in general. Right now, though, we are heading into the 7:30 news. And up next, there's been a rise in commodity prices, particularly food prices in the ASEAN region. But is it a good thing or a bad thing? We're going to be tackling that after the news. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.